Hello, everyone. This is Eric Pennington, and welcome to the Spirit of EQ podcast. We're glad that you've tuned in. Hey, a few things we wanted to tell you at the beginning of the show, and that's this podcast was created to be a tool to help you, primarily to discover and grow your EQ. Science and our own lived experiences confirm that the better we are at managing our emotions, the better we're going to be at making decisions, which leads to a better life. And that's something we all want. We're glad that you've taken out the time today to listen and hope that something that you hear will lead to a breakthrough. Hey, one last thing. We'd really appreciate a review on whichever platform you use to listen. And if you want to, leave some comments about what you heard today, as well as follow and subscribe. That way you won't miss a single episode as we continue this journey. And with that, the show begins.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hi, Eric. How about you? I'm doing good.
I'm doing great.
Should answer
this
your question.
This is a different one for us.
Yeah.
You're in the studio today, and I am not.
I know. It's just you can't kick me under the table like you normally do.
Well, I'm sure we'll get through. So, hey, we're going to talk about something I really love, and that's called I liken it to like the idea of getting to know yourself better, you know, self-knowledge and all that.
Yeah.
And before the show, you know, we were talking a little bit, and I do remember in a time past in an old job of yours, you did a lot of traveling, specifically road travel, more
right.
so than air, right?
Yeah, almost all road.
Yeah. So, you know, I got all kinds of ideas in my head of what that might have been like, listening to radio, talk shows, listening to music. What was that like? Because some of those drives were pretty long, right?
Yeah, for a while, because of circumstances, we had to provide service for a big account in Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's about a seven-hour drive. And usually on the way out, I would help our technicians and things out in that area. So that was broken up. But on the way back, it was normally 7 hours back here to Columbus. And, you know, I had all the stuff. I could listen to books on, well, I'm old, so it was books on tape. But,
right.
You know, off of Audible or, you know, music. I could do all that. But what I found was I was more and more not listening to anything, including driving all 7 hours back with the radio completely off, just no in the car. And
hey, Jeff, I got to stop you, man.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember exactly where I heard it or read this interview about there's like studies done about how Americans in modern day to day, that is one thing they cannot stand is like long periods of silence. So I almost think maybe you need an award because, but what was it hard at the beginning to do that?
No, because I didn't set out to do that. It just happened. You know, I would, you know, like listen to the traffic reports in Baltimore to get out of, you know, the traffic in Baltimore. And then,
right.
I just wouldn't turn anything else on. I would just shut the radio off in the car and didn't really think about it until I've done that a couple times. You know, I rode the whole way back without distraction, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, as people know in this podcast, both of us love music. So, you know, I would normally listen to, you know, whatever I wanted to and things like that. But I just found that I wasn't. And when I realized that, I realized that I was, and I think it goes back to what you said, I was comfortable being there by myself. And which is can be scary if you think about it.
Yeah. Oh, and that's probably why that that study that I just mentioned was so powerful, because I think in some ways there is a strong element of fear of what you might discover in silence, right?
Mm-hmm. you have to be careful with it. I wasn't doing it to beat myself up for mistakes I've made or anything, but it would help me understand more of why I'm thinking the things I'm thinking. What about the things I'm believing? Being able to do that, you know, we've talked about it before, the self-inventory of, you know, what's really going on inside of me. And it just, it became easier and easier. And if I'm traveling with my wife, we can't do that. She can't not have the radio on. Tease her about that. But I find that was became important. And even
well, you know, I'm just interjecting a bit when I think about it, you know, for our audience. I mean, what you did was rather Herculean, right? in the sense of having that much time of silence. But no one should think that we're advocating that you need to have a 7-hour drive of silence in order for you to get to know yourself better, because like any muscle, you know, it needs to be built. And maybe for some people it's not 7 hours, but to start it's 7 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's just, and I didn't do it every time, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point, right?
It seemed like, you know, with the long drive, but then I was, you know, shorter, you know, hour or two drives. I found out that I was, had an internal needing to do that today.
Okay, got it, got it. So was there a point in time where it became intentional? Because I hear intentionality in what you just said.
Yeah, I would intentionally listen to what myself was telling to myself. And, okay, I just need to do that. I need to just take this time to evaluate, to think about things. There's a situation going on. I need to concentrate on that.
Or
just to re-energize or to release whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I think is a benefit of this, and you mentioned about, you know, yourself talking to yourself thing. And I know sometimes that can make people chuckle a little bit. But I really do believe, Jeff, we should be talking to ourselves more often. And I'll give you an example. And I think it relates to the idea of knowing. As I have gone through my journey, probably in the last 10 years specifically, I became very intentional about getting to know Eric better. And one of the great benefits of that is that now when I go into like certain life events that trigger me toward maybe anxiousness or anger or whatever, I'm able to like, okay, Eric, you know what this is. We've seen this before. You don't have to retort, or you don't have to withdraw. You know, okay, I get that. Yeah, that's right. I don't. Let me just slow down. And it's been tremendously helpful. And obviously on this show, we're not giving out clinical advice. And for some, maybe that won't work. I get it. But it has been truly valuable for me. And I think it kind of connects back to that. Because I believe, Jeff, the better we know ourselves, I mean, it just makes the navigation of this thing called life at a minimum much more efficient, right?
You said that the best way I can think of. Yeah, it just makes it easier. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And it's
so.
This is how I did it.
Yeah.
You can do it whatever fits for you. You know, I had the opportunities to have that time where I.
Yeah, and some people don't, right?
Right. So this could be okay. How did I do today before you go to bed? Or,
right.
You know, just whatever works for you to take that time to see where you're at, see how you're feeling. Maybe think about, and once again, this is not to beat yourself up for failures or things that didn't go well. Don't do that. That's counterproductive. Yeah. But something didn't go well, and people probably get tired of us hearing this, have the curiosity to be able to go, okay, I could have handled that a different way. I don't want to say better, but a different way. Or somebody said something that challenged a belief of mine today. And why was that challenging to me? Do I need to look at what my belief is and reevaluate it? I never thought of it that way. Just it could be anything. And that's the part of getting to know yourself. And the better you know yourself, just like with a friend, the better able you are to read yourself, I guess is a good way to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting when I think about this idea and, you know, when we happen upon those events, and maybe the events are cloaked by people, right? Oftentimes our relationships, you know, you said about not beating yourself up. I think that's really, really great advice, because one key thing that I've adopted, Jeff, is that if I start to hear accusations in my head, I know it's not a good thing. It's not for my benefit.
No. And it's,
you know, go ahead.
A baseball hitter, professional baseball hitter, he will look at his strikeouts, not to beat himself up, to go, okay, that's, you know, I'm looking at this to see what is a better outcome.
Yeah.
Recognizing that, yeah, this didn't go well. I struck out three times in the game last night.
Yep.
Am I, you know, dropping my shoulder, you know, not keeping my eye on the ball or whatever, you know, just, but you're doing it to gain information so the next time the outcome can be more to what you want. I mean, a baseball batter.
You know what though, Jeff, I would imagine our audience knows this, but your best hitters in baseball are probably only hitting the ball into play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably what, 35% if you're really, really good?
Well, the benchmark for a good hitter is 3 out of 10, 30%,
right?
A 300 hitter.
Yeah.
Anything.
So you're ultimately 70% of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're out.
Right.
And I think, could you imagine if they applied that that self-critical approach like so many of us do at times, right? Where when in reality they know, no, I'm gonna miss 70% of the time.
One of the most talked about seasons from a hitter is Ted Williams hit 400, so he was 4 out of 6. So 6 out of 10 times he didn't get on base.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good clarifier too, getting on base.
Yeah.
Because I know it's not just strikeouts, it's also hitting the ball, and whether it's a fly or a ground out.
And even that, they call it hitting into, you know, we're on baseball now, but, you know, hitting into bad luck. I mean, you hit the ball as hard as you possibly can, but it's right at the third baseman. You know, if the third baseman would be over 2 feet, you know, you'd have a double because it went down the left field line. So,
is that why they call it the game of inches? I wonder.
Yeah. Well, because you're hitting a round ball with a round bat.
Wow. That's funny. I know there's also a dynamic here of someone might say, well, Jeff, you don't know how badly I've screwed up. You don't know how I made these mistakes and how much damage it's caused. What do you say to that person?
Join the club.
You know what? I wasn't going to utter it, but I'm going to now. I knew that's what you were going to say, and that's just perfect. Yeah. Exactly. And I know, as connected as we supposedly are, we're so disconnected, because to your point, Jeff, if we were to compare notes, Oh my gosh. I don't know of anyone that would come out looking good.
No, we're human. We're not perfect. And remember that, you know, we talk about empathy, but you need to have that self-empathy.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, Jeff, I mean, it's not possible, but even if it was, do I actually need to be perfect? Do I need to have it right all the time?
Brett and I, our producer, were talking before. I missed your email that you were going to be on Zoom today. It could have saved me a drive downtown. So I'm not going to beat myself up about that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's pivot to something that made me a little nervous.
Okay. So
you wanted to do an experiment.
Yeah, if you're up for it. I am
up for it.
Okay.
You know what I feel like?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the Stephen Colbert show and he's doing the Colbert questionnaire. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Yeah.
but I am ready, Jeff, for your experiment.
Okay. So I think let's just do it. So first, okay. Eric, just take a second and people listening, you can do the same thing. I want you to think about someone that you've never met, you've never physically, electronically or anything, you've never had a direct interaction with them, but somebody mm-hmm. you think you know about. And tell me a few things about them.
So this can be someone who's famous, someone who's not famous.
Yeah,
it could just be anybody.
It could be anybody.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to go to him because he was on my mind this morning, and that's the singer musician Kenny Loggins.
Okay.
Singer started probably when he was like in high school. Wrote a song called "Return to Pooh Corner."
I love that song. It's a great song.
most famously performed by, I believe, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. His version was not as well known, but he wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote it in high school. He did have some challenges with it because Disney wasn't real thrilled about him performing a song about one of their characters without permission.
Yeah,
and they tried to stop it. But ironically or not, the girl he was dating at the time, her father was like a senior executive at Disney and pretty much gave him the blessing, cut through all the threats. Very influential music for me, some of his songs. California, he was born in the Northwest in the Seattle, Washington area, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I may have that one wrong. Got to see him in concert a few times. Always fascinated by his introspective lyrics, and one of them being a song called "Back to Avalon."
Okay.
So I'd say that's probably, I mean, I got more, but I mean, we don't have unlimited time, so I'll be careful.
All right. So next, someone that you know very well in your family's, you know, whatever, and just say some things about that or about them.
Let's see. I guess I'll just use my daughter. Very creative. Saw that early on as a child, watched it kind of blossom, very caring, maybe almost too caring at times, for people, very smart, very driven. Let's see, what else do I know a lot more about her, but I'm just trying to select these nuggets. This one is rather selfish in nature. That creativity, I saw it and I resisted the temptation to push her in that direction because I wanted her, if that was going to be the path she was going to take, I wanted it to be something that she embraced, not me sort of pushing her to embrace.
Okay.
And I'm very blessed that she did embrace it because she's really good at what she does.
Okay. So do the same thing about yourself.
Okay. A dreamer, an empath, feel everything deeply. And that can be a two-edged sword. I've felt both. I'm a four on the Enneagram, which would draw a connection to that. It's one of the reasons why, even on this show, when I talk about music, and especially when we talk about Miles,
I'm surprised you didn't pick him.
Yeah. Well, I was going to try to have a little variety today, Jeff.
No, I agree. I'm going to have to listen to Pooh Corner on the way home because I haven't heard that song in a while.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
And you know, it kind of fits because it's when I hear certain musical notes, I feel them. I feel them deeply.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why they're such a strong part of how and what I do. Someone who finally got out of the business maybe 10 years ago of thinking that he needed validation outside of himself. And that was very liberating. So I'll stop there. So that's some about what I know about me.
All right. So,
Jeff, what is the SEQ Development Report?
I'm glad you asked me that, Eric. The SEQ Development Report is something that we here at Spirit of EQ have developed to blend the idea of emotional intelligence with a person's spiritual life. And we're not talking about religion. We're talking about how they connect with themselves, other people, and the world around them.
Why is it important?
I think it's important because it allows someone to see where they stand, to give them information about maybe parts of their life they may need to work on, parts of their life that they're really doing well and learn to leverage it. And it just gives a person a better way of getting through the world.
So how do you get this report?
Well, first, you need to contact us.
Mm-hmm.
Info at Spirit of EQ is just a great way to do it. Then you would take an assessment, 15, 20 minutes, done online. And then after that, the report requires a debrief to go through all the things in it because it's got a ton of information. And then if you want to further your journey, we can do coaching and things like that with you down the road. And that's basically it.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff. And we'll be back to the episode after this. And now back to the episode.
How was Kenny Loggins feeling when he wrote House on Pooh Corner?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can guess.
Yeah.
I can maybe take what I know about the story and about his path to being a performer, but it would be a guess at best.
So, how does your daughter feel when she is expressing her creativity?
That one has some guesses, but I've had conversations with her where she's told me that she believes that it's a fit for her to be doing what she's doing, that it connects to why she was made, why God put her here.
Okay. So when a piece of music affects you deeply, how are you feeling?
About music?
About that piece of music, whatever it is.
Probably music for me, Jeff, is... It's an art form that reminds me that I'm not alone, and that in many respects I'm understood.
Okay. So my question would be, of those three, which is the one that you can be sure of?
Oh, mine.
So why is that important?
Because I think if I were guessing, meaning if I didn't know why I felt the way I do about music, as you used as an example, mm-hmm. I think it would just be one of the things, and I have felt this way in some areas of life where it was kind of like I would look outward for people to validate what I was feeling and what I was thinking. And if I didn't get the validation, I would easily turn to, oh, I must be dreaming. I'm off here, you know, because obviously if they don't understand, then, and then I started, you know, as I began doing this work, I started realizing that's not where the validation comes from. That's not the indicator of whether something is authentic or not. It comes from two places. It comes from God and it comes from yourself.
Okay.
So
we've established that the most powerful connection is with yourself.
Certainly. Yep.
So why is it important that we leverage that connection?
It flows sort of in reverse order to what you just described. I may never meet Kenny Loggins and never have a relationship with him. So that's highly likely. That's never going to happen. But with my daughter, as long as I have, and she has time on this planet, it's something that can be nurtured, encouraged, nourished, you know, if you will. And I don't think, Jeff, I can be that type of person in her life unless I have that knowledge of me. Okay. And the connection with myself. It would be much harder, if not close to impossible.
Well, you talked about that when you described how you saw that she was going to be a creative person, but you knew you would want to push her some direction, but you knew yourself that you might do that, so you didn't.
So exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely, well played there. Yes. I definitely.
Okay. So how can EQ help us do this?
Well, I'm going to speak for how it's helped me. I mean, obviously the bedrock of our offering to the world is, you know, the competencies inside of this EQ model. Mm-hmm. And one of the big ones for me was rooted in emotional literacy and the recognizing of patterns.
Okay.
And I don't believe it's limited to just two competencies, right. But I think the know yourself pursuit, mm-hmm, is such that it does speak to that idea of gaining understanding and specifically that there are tools to do this. Mm-hmm. That it's not just Jeff and I, right? It's not Jeff, you and I on a podcast just saying, hey, get to know yourself better. Do all you can to know yourself, as if somehow you wake up and you breathe and it happens. Mm-hmm. I really do believe there's some intention. I can speak for myself again. This was intentional work. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's no different than how we started today. You intentionally decided, I'm not going to listen to music on this particular trip. I'm not going to have anything on. I'm just going to be with myself and my thoughts and explore. Mm-hmm. And I think that in an age that we live in, where so much can be delivered so fast and so easily, information wise, it's almost like a bygone skill set. But I do believe it's an intentional discipline thing too. Mm-hmm. And then I probably would lean on the competency of optimism and empathy. The optimism is that because sometime getting to know yourself better or to learn more about yourself, you're going to encounter some things that you might not find to be very appealing, mm-hmm, things that maybe you want to change. And I think we need a certain level of optimism that says, you know what? That may be true that I did X, but I have options and I can change and I can do something different. And then empathy comes right alongside of that to remind us that everyone has fallen. Everyone has missed the mark. What matters is what you do after.
Right. I love those. But the one I would add would be the, it helps you keep your eye on your noble goal to be able to, is this aligning with who I am? So,
yeah, that's a great one, Jeff, because I do believe, and though I don't know if it's any official language, but I think of the noble goal as the North Star, right? Mm-hmm. That star that, whether it's pitch black, you can see where you're going. You have your eye on something that's guiding you.
Well, it's you can see where you would like to go, and am I following that?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Versus veering off to one direction or another. Yeah.
And that
to me, you know, Jeff, I know that Simon Sinek is so famous with his book, you know, Start With Why, but you know, that's a huge question to answer. And I don't mean huge as in, oh man, it's very hard to do that, and only certain people can. I mean huge as in it's important, right? You know, Why do you want to be a creative and do that kind of work? Why do you want to move to that area? Why do you want to listen to that podcast, whatever it may be? And to make sure, to your point, that if you're doing it, does it align with that noble goal?
Mm-hmm. And I, folks, we're not saying that you have to constantly be on doing your noble goal, but you know, if you've got a drive and you want to listen to music, do that. You know, it's not that you this needs to become a part of your life. It needs to become a part of the whole. So yeah, don't give up those other things, but make sure you find time to fit this in. There's I think it's off the Moody Blues album Threshold of a Dream, a song called "Sitting." Are you sitting comfortably? And that's what I want to ask our audience. Are you sitting comfortably with yourself?
Can you unwrap that a little bit more, even in the context of that song?
Yeah, it's...
If necessary.
It's just, it's a real gentle song. And it's just somebody asking, they're going to tell a story in this song, and they ask if the person's sitting comfortably to be able to sit and listen. And that's kind of what we're talking about. You're looking at your story, and are you able to sit down, become comfortable, whatever that looks like for you, and listen to the story? Take away those distractions. You know, that's really what we're asking you to do, is listen to what's going on in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point earlier, this sort of our consistent banging of the drum of curiosity and not judgment. And, you know, because it is so easy, Jeff, to be uncomfortable because we do play the judge and jury. I saw an article from a psychiatrist. I believe it was in the Wall Street Journal, and she was writing an essay about parents whose kids have basically just cut them totally out of their lives, right? And I know we probably could attach counsel, you know, but in whatever form you want to describe it. But she said one of the, and I would be clear here, she did validate that sometimes parents have done things to their kids in their childhood that are really, really atrocious. So this is not to dismiss any of those kind of series. But when it comes to things that are outside of that realm, right? Every relationship is messy at some level, at some time. And messy does imply that maybe some toxicity to it. And she in this essay, she writes about how that sometimes young in the generation, specifically, I think she was referring to like the Gen Zs, and maybe a little millennial, my memory serving, is that they have been told, you know, you got to you got to get rid of any toxic relationship out of your life. Well, on the face of that, Jeff, that's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff, what if you and I in our relationship encounter the messiness and there's some toxicity in it?
Mm-hmm.
Should you just say, okay, Eric, I never want to talk to you again, ever. I'm cutting you off.
That's the easy
somebody,
thing to do. I mean, right? It's easy to do. That's the past the path of least resistance for
yes,
you to do that.
And though we could easily say that that comes from sort of the TikTok psychology,
mm-hmm.
relationships have too much nuance mm-hmm. to them. And I'm hoping that maybe one day we're, or maybe it's happening now, that we're strengthening ourselves to go, wait a minute, before I cut off one of the most important relationships in my life, I got to fight here a little bit. I got to fight for this relationship.
Right.
I gotta explore. I gotta be more curious and try to understand. And I get it. It could be that the person, the parent, is a toxic person mm-hmm. and it's chronic and you might need to have a boundary,
mm-hmm.
but don't do it in a heartbeat. Don't just, okay, you said one word and now it's over. It is, to your point, it's easy. And that's why we judge so much, because it's easy.
But
right?
if you take that time to sit with it and you may come to that decision, okay, this has to be over. But you don't do it. Well, EQ is about responding instead of reacting. So yeah. you respond yeah. well, to the situation.
Yeah. And Jeff, you might have been thinking this, maybe our audience is like, well, what does that have to do with knowing yourself? Well, let me turn this one around and go, okay, what if you realize that you do have a bit of a propensity to cut people off very quickly mm-hmm. or to cancel them? Let's just say you've done it before, maybe multiple times. Maybe that's a pattern that you should be curious about. How is it that I typically won't give people much of a second chance? Why is that? Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? What's been the value back to me when I've done that?
Yeah.
What's my ROI on that?
Right. You know, how much energy would have taken to fix this and then the benefits of fixing it? We don't yeah. look at, you know, we don't, a lot of people, would not consider that as part of this process of cutting somebody out. And, you know, mm-hmm. okay, man, yeah, I understand that they did this to me this one time. Let me think about that. Sit with it. Did I have anything to do with them doing that to me? One, mm-hmm. if I'm part of it, then, you know, it could go a million different ways, but taking
right.
the time.
And Jeff, I've used this multiple times in other settings. Exhaust curiosity before you go to judgment. Because eventually, yes, we all need to make judgments, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's as an example we're talking about, if it's a parent, if you have done everything that you know how to do to the best of your ability to do, and it's still not resulting in reconciliation or resolution or whatever, then it might be the right decision to say, I'm going to have to put up a boundary. And there you go. But I think the pursuit of self-knowledge is to help you to understand how you can become better at responding
mm-hmm.
and do less of the reacting.
Right.
To the point you were making. Well, Jeff, as always, this is great conversation mm-hmm. with you today.
Yes, it's fun.
There you go.
Sometimes
audience,
it's hard to
we really appreciate you tuning in as well. And we look forward to the next time that we're together. Take care. Hi, everyone. This is Eric Pennington with The Spirit of EQ. I'm not introducing a new episode today. I'm here to tell you some things that might help you. Jeff, you're with me as always. So
yes.
How do people get in touch with us?
Well, the best way is just send us an email at info@spiritofeq.com.
That's awesome. Jeff, I was also thinking about reviews, and I'm notoriously bad at asking for them, so reviews on all of the platforms, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
You think that'd be good?
I think that would be great because, one, that will help us learn how to make better ones. And it's always good for us.
So we're not the perfect podcast host.
We're close.
Okay. All right. But still,
not totally.
We want
perfect.
Your feedback. We want your feedback.
But it also might let us know a new subject. Hey, we need to dig deeper into that.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think.
Cool. We really appreciate that. As always, too, there is social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and we also have a YouTube channel. Those also have mechanisms or options for you to be able to leave a comment, a like, or those kind of things. Just want to make sure that you know how to get in touch with us. Right, Jeff?
Right. We appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Once again, we really appreciate you tuning in today. One of the things that Jeff and I want to bring to your attention as well is that when we created this podcast, it was not intended to take the place of a clinician. In other words, if you find yourself in a place where there's something deeper going on or something that you cannot solve on your own, we do recommend that you reach out to a clinician of some sort. This podcast is purely opinion-based, and it is rooted in the desire to help you along your path in whatever way we can. However, it is never going to replace, nor should it ever be looked at as a replacement for clinical help in any way. Thanks again for tuning in.